Hey, this is Jeff. We'll get to the show in a second. If you want to support the show or find back episodes of the show or find our other podcasts or find articles or quotes on early learning, all that kind of stuff is over at playvolutionhq.com. We're trying to curate the early learning world. Check it out. Here's the show. I wanted to do didn't work.
What thing?
I'll try it in another episode. I was going to do some Blinded Me with Science music at the intro.
Oh.
I'm trying to figure out. Hey, welcome to the Child Care Farm Girl podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. In studio with me, Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
And via the magic of the interweb, Tiffany Pearsall from where are you from now? You're from someplace different.
I am. I'm from Carson, Washington now.
Well, I mean your program.
My program's in Carson. Technically, it's in Stabler, but all of Carson and Stabler is unincorporated Skamania County, but we just say Carson.
But I mean the name of your program.
I've never had this conversation before because the program's so new. It's called Play Frontier.
And what is it?
It's a nature play school in on the border of the Gifford Pinchot National Forest. Our only neighbors are elk and the U.S. Forest Service.
Awesome.
It rules.
Gorgeous. Are you just going to move there forever?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much, yeah.
And some bears.
I've already slept at the school. And some bears. The bears are mainly at my house.
More cougar at the school.
Yeah. We got a big sandbox for the Lisa Murphy cougars to go to the bathroom in.
No, I use the bathroom. We'll be fine.
Okay, cool.
Hey, so we got Tiffany with us because we wanted to start doing a series on the scientific method because we had this crazy idea that maybe if individual practitioners started using this process as they go about their work, there might be some more reflection and some more change in practice. And the reason we called upon Tiffany is that Tiffany is the only early learning professional that we know who used to also work at a nuclear power plant and do science shit. So
not a power plant. It was a research reactor. It was about the size of a washing machine.
And what did
but
you?
But it could have killed us all.
What did you research?
We were the operators, not the actual researchers. So usually it was thesis students asking us to shoot stuff in at high speeds to the core, get irradiated
like pigeons,
and then shoot back out.
Oh, so not like shooting pigeons into the core of the reactor.
Living material is like super reactive when it comes back out.
Oh, really?
So usually not living material.
Oh.
So like give us an example, like a rock, pine cone, but that's a living.
Yeah, well, right? An example would be that I, for one of my projects, carbon dated some leaves that I found in an old book at a antique store. So you can irradiate it and then count the number of blips that come off of it or the speed of the decay. Sorry, this is digging up some old things in my brain. And then you can say like, well, if it's this rate, then it was probably this old when it was collected.
Well, how old were your leaves?
Well, my leaves were from post-1950, which makes it very hard to accurately age because of nuclear testing.
They weren't old enough, huh? Ooh.
They weren't old enough.
Uh-huh. Well, see, as you can tell, listeners, Tiffany has met science before. So what we did...
I have a degree in biology.
Well, okay,
I science a lot. That's
going to be a t-shirt too. That's got to be a t-shirt for your program too. So Tiffany sciences a lot, and we hope Tiffany could help walk us through this whole idea of this. It's just basically a tool that you can use for doing your own research is what the scientific method is, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Allison Gopnik would argue that even babies could do this.
And probably do, I mean, probably without a lot of writing or or
typing.
They don't type a lot, but really the whole process is what babies and young children are doing when they're exploring and they're actually pushing our buttons. You've got a toddler running around your house, and so I'm sure there's a lot of scientific scientific method going on. Well, Guy is trying to figure out how mommy and daddy work.
Yep. Yes.
So let's dive
maximum
in.
Maximum toddler right now. Maximum
toddler. There's another t-shirt. Another children's t-shirt. So
let's... I am a maximum toddler.
Max Todd.
Ask me a question.
So this whole
actually,
process.
Actually, hold on. That was funny. Ahead. What if what if a toddler had a shirt that said, "I have a hypothesis. Ask me."
Oh, I love it. I love it.
But they do, and you know what? I don't want to jump over. I realize we want to get to this on our papers with her. And I want to come back to what you said about Allison Gopnik, because we have a couple listeners who haven't listened to a word we've said since then, because they're like, ooh, are they going to elaborate on that? You know, every time a baby knocks something over and realizes that he or she made something happen, the hypothesis is, I'm going to be able to do that again, right? So it's not that they're doing something they're going to submit to a journal for a peer review. It's that in the heat of the moment, I made something happen, or I'm wondering if something's going to happen, and then it did happen. Can I repeat that? Oh my God, yes, I did. Boom, I have done some research.
Yes, exactly.
So you may keep going. I just felt the need to elaborate a little bit.
No, I like that because I think what we would like to see as podcasters is that people in the profession start taking a little bit more ownership of the things they do in their classroom. And I think using this method is also when you're thinking about introducing something new or changing something up in your classroom, you can legitimately do a test run of it using this process and see how kids respond, see how parents respond before you change everything for all time.
And I want to jump in here that I think one of the reasons we wanted this to be a podcast is to kind of remind our listeners that you don't have to be a PhD student or be involved in a master's program. You can be conducting your own research without any intention of publishing it, right? Like I know my part of my intention with this episode was wanting to make sure we took researching off whatever shelf somebody might have in their head on it. You could wake up tomorrow morning, have a question, follow what we're about to do and unpack here in the podcast, and do your own research without it needing to impact the world. It can impact your world right there in that classroom, and that is still good research. And I want to make sure that our listeners are aware of that.
So to do research, to clarify, you don't have to be an infant.
No. But you can be.
You can be. You don't have. Do you have to have a white lab coat?
No.
Ooh, that would be fun.
No,
though.
But it's fun. I bet Tiffany wore a lab coat.
No, I want to. No, well, I did wear a lab coat at the reactor, but I have something that I got in Iowa that is my teacher lab coat now.
oh yes.
It's a really delightful fishing vest.
It is.
That is like my new teacher attire.
I'm going to repeat that while you, I think you want to show us because we can see you right now, although the pod listeners can't.
Right, they won't be able to hear. So but can I pull it up and then you describe it?
You go do it and I'm going to repeat what you said because I missed it, but I knew what you said. She said a fishing vest. Yeah. So if you're not familiar with that, it's like a vest you wear
when you go fishing. Hence fishing vest.
But
there
I
is,
believe
Lisa.
Also a Check fishing out, vest Lisa. Is also a little bit like a photography vest. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
There's tons of pockets, which I think every teacher in the world
tiny
should have this. Right? Like there's your pencil is going in that one. There's a test tube of sorts.
An EpiPen maybe.
An EpiPen because, you know, you never know who's with you. Snack. So many pockets.
I love the idea of teacher utility belts, but I think the vest takes that a step
it's
further.
It's the same thing.
It's a utility belt for hoarders. You need all your extra shit. Okay, you got to have.
And here's the bonus: the entire back flap.
It's got a back pocket.
One big pocket.
A big pocket on the back.
Yeah, you could.
Wow.
You
could put a child in that.
How many magnifying glasses do you have
towels,
to have?
Toilet paper, paper towels.
All the Kleenex.
Exactly.
So you a fishing vest is not necessary, not required, but
right, you know what is handy. Required is an inquiring mind.
Oh. Ooh. And so that's pretty much all you need to have, huh? Is an inquiring mind, yeah. Some curiosity. Yep. And
I would say time.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
You'll need time to reflect.
And follow through, right? Because yeah. You can have all the questions in the world, but if you're not willing to take the time to act on them, it doesn't really matter.
And if you're only willing to do the experiment once and assume that that is the answer forever.
And that's what we call replicating the research.
Yeah.
So
we get the same answer every time.
I guess I got more questions on this preparatory thing. Do you need some quarter? You should probably have some sort of recording device to record maybe. Information.
Yeah, but hold on. Define recording because some people listening might think recording as in like click, I'm hitting record. You can document in a notebook.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, she's.
Oh, yes.
Lisa, I heard you use a word. You can document.
Lots of words. Yes.
And I think that this is something I get really fired up about. That as a profession, we're really into observing and documentation, but we aren't actually using that process of documentation. You're using the product of documentation.
Oh, don't even get me started on that. because to me that comes back. Okay, pause. Everybody pause for a second. I'm talking to Tiffany right now. So when I was in my master's program, we were told that you're not allowed to gather data unless you could articulate what you were going to do with it. And I think, unless I'm misunderstanding you, you're kind of implying the same thing. Like if I'm just gathering data and posting it, gathering information and posting it, it's like product versus process product, right? Or are we not
yeah. engaged? Yeah, no,
I'm just gathering stuff to post it on a wall.
Yes.
Look, I've done some documentation.
Right.
Okay, so what is that telling you? Where are you going with that?
That is to me the same level of useful as a handprint craptivity.
Ooh. No, I agree with you. I just was not sure we were on the same page.
We are.
Jeff is waving his
hand. I know you're just talking to Tiffany now, Lisa, but you're doing a podcast and the microphone is facing the other direction from where your mouth is facing. And
oh, so now I'm not loud enough?
We're getting your side voice. So just kind of look at that. Don't go that close. We've been doing microphone science all day and experimenting with Lisa's microphone position. You don't need a lab coat. You might need to record information, whether it's on a computer or with a recorder or with a paper and pencil. But some storing information some way is probably a good idea for some of this. What other stuff do you need to get started? Do you need time? What other things should we have before we start doing?
I'm going to get real meta with it, Jeff. I would say you need time.
Uh-huh.
You need task. What are the other two T's that children need to play?
Time, you task. Need...
Well,
team? Trust. Is that one of them?
I don't know the four T's you're going after.
She's talking about my four T's, the time, team,
task. Yeah, your four T's. Time, team, task, technique. I think that as an adult doing research, you need those same four things.
You need a team?
Because research is the grown-up form of play.
You need team? Yeah.
Ooh, research is a grown-up form of play.
Or maybe play is a child's, maybe play is just reading. Oh, it's so complicated.
It's only play if it's freely chosen.
And I would say team, project. Like, for me, my team is the other teachers in the room, or maybe the other parents of that child. If I'm really digging deep on one child observation, it's podcasters together conversing to make increased meaning of our world.
Well, how fancy.
Feeling fancy.
So have you had
got my own school now. I'm feeling fancy.
Well, you're looking fancy with those earbuds you got on your head. Have you had a research question of late that would allow us to kind of walk through this in a hypothetical yet perhaps current
action? Yeah, but it's going to really derail the plan for this and following episodes. Because I've been really into social sciences research and how different that looks from scientific method.
That's not real science.
It's all about observing and trying to take a picture of a culture. So like anthropologists in particular, they go in, they try to paint an accurate picture of a culture using words, using other research materials. So anyway, the thing that I'm really interested in right now is, what does home mean? What makes something feel like home? Yeah, that's my current.
And how are you defining home?
That's part of it. So for some people,
calling on to assist you in defining home.
In particular, I'm trying to figure out how to make my program feel like home. And so I don't know if that's, yeah. I am trying to figure out if that's certain textures, certain smells. For some people, it's their pets. For other people, it's their fuzzy socks. So like, is it things that you're attached to in a space? Is it the people in the space? So I've been reaching out to friends and family and anybody who visits school, and I get to corner for
a while. Can I be a brat for a minute? And
yeah.
You're potentially overthinking this.
Tiffany never overthinks anything.
Why would I overthink this? What do you mean?
I would push back and say that you do not need to do any kind of study to create something that is homey and cozy and safe and warm. I don't think you need to do research on that. I think you probably bring some of that to the table, and that you could probably start at square one with what you are bringing to the table, which would be 100% authentic. And then if you got input after opening, then you would make midstream adjustments accordingly, as opposed to perhaps creating something that other people have told you feel homey, but it's not the people who are actually showing up every day at your space.
Yeah.
But that would totally make her not Tiffany.
So here's why I'm saying that. I did family childcare for forever. And when I opened the center, I said, I want to blend as much as possible what we did in family childcare and a center, you know, without violating any of the legal rules. Mm-hmm. And we were able to do that just by simply saying, what is warm and cozy and welcoming and safe and warm around the edges, like soft edges, not like hard angles. And it looked like a living room. So when you walked in, it was a living room, and there was a coffee smell and there was pastry smells. And, you know, so I'm going to caution you to not overthink. I appreciate your nerd mind because you know how I am, but I'm going to tell you that in regard to this current situation, I think you might be overthinking this a smidge, and that's a lot of extra energy that you could be channeling maybe to shit that you really need to be paying attention to. So that's Lisa Murphy's advice to you for this.
Almost asking a goldfish to stop swimming in water. You're asking Tiffany to stop being the essence of Tiffany.
Yes, but what do we know? That sometimes when you push yourself a little bit out of your comfort zone, what ends up happening is that you grow
magic.
A little. Magic, yes. Right? Okay, we'll leave it at that. Yes.
Hey, let's bring this first episode in this series talking about the scientific method to an end before we get
but
to
this,
the...
I think was
already?
The
oh, no.
Oh,
wow. Yeah, okay, nice okay,
warm-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like foreplay.
This might...
Yeah. I was going to say prequel, but foreplay sounds.
Oh, go ahead.
Which takes some, I mean, there's got to be some research involved in that too, from my experience. You got to kind of do
okay,
some,
that's enough.
I'm just saying. So this is going to be a 14 or 15 part series, I feel.
It's going to bring us through to summer.
And so what we're trying to get to, and this will be shared in the episode, we've got this one page kind of a quick sheet kind of outlining this, the scientific method, kind of focused on early learning people and doing personal research. And that's we're gonna work our way through. And this has been kind of the
warm up. It really was a warm up.
Form, foreplay, whatever for that. We'll be back soon with an episode. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing with a friend. Tiffany, where do people find you on the interwebs?
I'm at www.playfrontier.org.
There we go. We'll be back soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.